For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Portrait pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking Spunks puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
What's up, good people of San Diego? Welcome into another edition of Quinn and Chris, Tony Gwynn Jr., Chris Ello, Matthew Scraby. We're separated. Once again, I'm out here in Seattle, where it is a much cooler than it had been in San Diego, although I hear today it has cooled off a little bit. We're not in the 90s. We're in the low 80s, or high 80s, I believe, correct?
Yeah, my wife, my lovely wife, agreed to turn the air on over the weekend when it hit about 110. But as soon as that needle went under 100, Tony, it was time to, you know, flip that baby off and open the windows and put the fans on. So
get some of that hot air.
Hot air. And no, she was good about it. House has been cooled off, but you're right. It's not too bad today. We did finally turn the air off today. So, you know, getting back a little bit to normal. It's supposed to be a little better the rest of the week. You know, I'm excited for these games here in Seattle. I mean, all of us. I mean, first of all, let's can we just start the show by giving a big thank you? I mean, a big one to our old friend Nick Martinez last night, who pitched shutout baseball and helped
Nick Martinez doing Nick Martinez things this time of year.
Thank you, Nick. Thank you. You know, I was getting a little, I think the Padres have the best team. I think they're going to make it. I don't think they're going to be caught in the wild card, but you know, the Braves won last night. Game and a half is a little close for comfort, I must say. So I was happy to see Nick Martinez provide that victory last night, bump the margin back to 2.5, and hopefully the Padres get back to work. I don't believe the Padres are in any kind of slump at all. 3 out of 4 happens in baseball quite often.
Why? Why worried about the Bravos when the Diamondbacks are
I'm not worried. Look, I want to make the playoffs. And the Braves are the third team there.
Oh,
I
mean, you're worried about them falling all the
sure,
way.
Gotcha, sure. Yeah, gotcha, that's my panic
that's
of a concern.
That's a reasonable fear. That's a reasonable
sure.
fear.
I mean, if the Braves had won last night, the Padres would only be a game and a half clear of all three teams. So
Worth
the
up.
Fact that it's 2.5 makes me feel a little better. And, you know, but look, I don't think the Padres need, I said this yesterday, I don't think they have to overreact. But Scraby and I did discuss a couple of things in your absence. And, you know, looking forward to your take on those things. So,
Let me hear them. I missed out on what was talked about in my travel
time. Well, one of them was my thought. And the other one I'm going to blame on Scraby, just in case you don't agree with it.
Yeah, which one are you going with first?
I think you have a better chance of liking my idea, but it's not my idea alone. I mean, I've seen it a few places. I'm going to go back to what I said when Ha-Seong Kim first got hurt. And my first thought was they can last a week to 10 days by filling in at shortstop with Tyler Wade and then Mason McCoy, and I think they were fine. But I think now that Ha-Seong Kim is still out and he's no return necessarily in sight, I think it's time for the Padres to either put Jake or Xander over at shortstop and open up the DH spot for either Peralta or Donovan Solano. And I think that, you know, Mike Schilt has spoken to this. I know Xander Bogaert said he thought it was time to get Solano back in the order. But I do think that would be a move that I would be willing to make right now. Nothing against Mason McCoy. As I've said many times, I think he's not hurt the team in any way, shape, or form. But I'd rather have Solano and or Peralta's bat right now. That was the first suggestion. The other one was more of a Scraby suggestion that I tried to make him feel better about.
You're such a different person when Tony's here. You were like all about it yesterday, co-signing on it, thinking this is, you know what, Scraby, that was a really great
thing. Let's start with Scraby's idea first. So what is Scraby's idea?
Well, Scraby's idea, which was co-signed by me yesterday,
thank you,
is that Jerickson Profar is slumping and Jackson Merrill isn't. And maybe even, you know, we've talked about it. We've been patient all year. We kept Jackson down in the order because that's where he's done Jackson Merrill things. But I am starting to think that with 17 games to go, maybe we have a better chance to score a bunch of runs with Jackson Merrill in the middle of the thing at the three and drop Profar down until further notice. So let's start with that one, Tony, because I'm pretty sure you're not gonna co-sign on that.
I'm not going to co-sign on it, but it's not an outrageous idea.
I'll take it.
Jerickson has struggled a little bit swinging a bat. I don't know that it has to be Jackson that moves into that spot, though.
Yeah.
You know
what
I'm saying? Like, I think you could move Jerickson out of the three spot and, you know, whether it's Jake or whoever you decide to put there, you can put a guy in there that's you know, Jake's hit there all year, and this offense has been pretty good all year with him hitting in that three spot. So you could do that if Mike chose to do it. But I think the first one is really the real discussion because – hold on, let me get my calendar out here. I want to be precise. You know, that's going to be my off-season resolution. I want to be precise on what I'm talking about. So you guys, I'm giving you and Chris – a free card, and everybody can remember this. I'm saying it right now, 206, September 10th. I want to be better about getting people's names right. If I don't know the name, I'm gonna ask. Hey, you know, Scrape, help me out with such and such. Now, I don't want to keep butchering people's name, and I want to get information right. So I say that to say on. I believe it was August 16th.
Okay.
Or no. Was did Kim get hurt the last day in Colorado?
I think he did, Tony. I think it was Sunday.
It was a day game, right?
It's
yeah.
Sunday.
So August 18th,
okay.
Kim goes down.
Okay.
With a jammed shoulder. We are now moving into almost about another week away from it being a month since he's been out. He went on the 10-day IL and hasn't returned yet. I think there is reason to be concerned there at this point, right? I mean, he hasn't we've seen him do some certain things, but we haven't seen him, like, put it all together in terms of throwing, running. All of that's going to have to be there. But it has taken longer than I think, you know, many people thought when it happened. And I think there may be a real need to start thinking about what it's going to be. What it would have to look like if he doesn't come back at this point. You know, we're getting closer and closer to the end of the season. I mean, Padres come back from this road trip. They'll have one full homestand left and one road trip left before, you know, season ends. So time is a ticking at this point. And then, you know, you start to miss enough time to where, you know, what is it going to look like when he does come back? So I think that's a legitimate question in terms of who moves to third. I think it is going to be Bogey. That's the one that makes the most sense to me to move. Jake's versatility to play first, second, short, I think you want to maintain that because I think ultimately he's still your best first baseman. But if Bogey has to move to short, obviously Jake's probably the one that's going to move to second.
Yeah.
You're going to have to then move Luis to first base. More than likely, except on the days you decide not to start him against a lefty. But I got news for you. Come playoff time, I don't know that he's going to be coming out of a lineup because a lefty is is starting the game that day.
I wouldn't take him out right now. That's for sure.
Right, especially the way he's swinging. So it's going to be a Peralta DH or a Solano DH in those cases, which I think everybody feels pretty darn good about. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
so,
I do. So.
I mean, I think that's probably, you know, probably a more pressing thing to discuss versus the Profar moving out of the three-hole spot.
Mm-hmm.
Those are rich people problems in this major league game, right?
Not our pay grade.
But I do think the issue that you bring up, Chris, is probably one that we should probably start paying attention to. Hopefully, you know, we go out today because I'm pretty sure Mike Shields is going to be asked about it before the game. You know, what's Kim's progress?
Yeah.
Hopefully he comes out and says he's knocking on the door. But we haven't heard that as of yet from Mike and any of the pressers or scrums we've had.
No, we haven't. So, you know, and again, I don't want to pick on Mason McCoy because I really like what he's done.
Yeah, can I say something about that real quick?
Sure.
Because Mason McCoy has done exactly what has been asked of him to do since he's come up here, which was, hey, go defend the shortstop position and you know, hold your own offensively. Obviously, I think Mason's a little limited offensively in terms of what he brings at the bottom of the lineup, but that by no means should indicate that he hasn't done a good job while he's been up here filling in for Ha-Sung Kim.
Yeah, he's been great. But if they're going to go into the – I mean, there's some people that I've heard, and I don't know that whether anybody – I don't think anybody really knows anything. But, you know, people start to run away with themselves. And I've heard some people running away and saying, you know, we may not see Ha-Sung Kim at all. And I don't know that that's even remotely something we should think about. But – if we go into the postseason and Ha-Sung is not ready, I would feel a whole lot better if Xander Bogaerts has played shortstop for 3 weeks and, you know, gotten his feet back wet again. And, you know, I just think right now that gives the Padres the best chance to win. And it is now a sprint to the finish. So
for sure. For sure. I think it's a great point, Chris. And I think if that's something we see in the next couple of days or weeks, antenna should immediately go up. Because, you know, it was said that, you know, Xander wasn't going to move back. But we've seen him move back over to short, late-game situations. We've seen it a couple times, I think, since Kim has gone out. If he gets a start there, I think that would raise a ton of antennas. You know, because that's not a guy you're moving to a spot like that unless there's some type of, permanent, I guess, for 2024, unless there's something around that, I don't see them moving him to shortstop. So if it happens, I know my antennas would go up immediately.
Your antennas being the ones that are concerned about Kim's return long term.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Well, long term as in 2024, for
right.
sure.
Yeah. Well, it's going to be, you know, look, it's going to be an interesting scrum. We had the day off, and the scrum meaning the visit with Mike Shildt today, because I think there's going to be a lot of, like you said, a lot of that asked. As soon as we, you know, hear what he has to say, we'll pass along to everybody. And I think it'll be interesting to see the lineup tonight. You know, again, back to Profar. I've loved the guy more than anyone. There might be some people that have loved him as much as I've loved him, but I don't think anybody's loved him more than I've loved him this year. I've just enjoyed everything about Profar. But for 17 games right now, I've got to get my best chance to win in there, Tony. It's too close right now. I do not, and this is what I did say yesterday, I do not want this to slip away. And I've got to give it my best, everything I can do for 17 games. And I think if Merrill were thought of, I think the fact that we talked about, hey, let's leave him down there. Let's let him do what he does. Let him relax. I think now we could bring him up without concerning ourselves with any long-term damage. I mean, there's 17 games. So, you know, do what you can do.
I don't honestly think the worry was ever long-term damage. You just wanted him to be able to go out and play. And I think the same thing is going to remain now. I mean, you can make the argument the lights are going to be brighter and the stage is going to be even bigger at this point in the season. And so I'm not sure that that'll be the move he goes. It's certainly a move that Mike has in his back pocket should he go that route. But there are other options for him to go. And, you know, one of the options is not change anything
That's
at
right.
all. Leave
yeah.
leave Profar right where he is. So,
yeah, that's why I'm looking forward to the lineup more than normal today.
Yeah.
To see if
anything happens. So. I mean, I don't know if you guys saw AJ's article a couple days ago where he was talking about Bogaerts being an option at shortstop. I think you start having those conversations if there is some worry that Kim is not going to be back available. And, you know, the fact that they're entertaining, because there was a time where they wouldn't probably have had this conversation, and that, you know, the Padres wouldn't even entertain moving Bogey to shortstop. But
agreed.
You know, given the quotes in there, in terms of from what Mike Shildt said, yesterday was not necessarily a setback. Shildt said after the 7-6 loss, it just wasn't a move forward. So we're still in the evaluation process. That scares me a little bit.
Yeah,
you know what I'm saying?
Agreed.
Evaluating as we get this close in a year, that's certainly something that raises your antenna. So I think you're right. I think if the move is going to be, I hate to use the word permanent, seems like it's so like final, but whatever is below permanent,
the next word below that. Yeah.
I think it will be Xander that probably goes to short.
Temporarily permanent.
They're temporarily permanent. Exactly.
That sounds like a Mike Shildt phrase.
It does.
Actually.
It kind of does. Actually, it's temporarily. Permanent, guys. Everybody out there. Well, so what about all the tweets saying we have possibly seen Ha-Sung Kim play his last game?
Well, that's
in the
right. That's
uniform.
What I. That's what I said. People
it's
are starting to run away with that, but it is possible.
Real,
I guess
it's a real possibility.
I hear
it's
the Giants are really loving some Ha-Sung Kim.
Well, his best friend is on. His best friend is on the team over there. So I mean, listen, everybody, guys got best friends across the league, and that don't necessarily mean they are going to go sign with that said team. So,
money,
but we do
talks.
Know Ha-Sung is a free agent after the end of this
I
year.
I can't see Ha-Sung Kim being paid to come back here next year. But at the same time, I'm so far away from being worried about that at this point.
Right.
I
mean, let's live in this moment.
I honestly want to win this game tonight and, you know, hopefully put a little more distance between the Mets and the Braves and, you know, get more comfortable because I want to get into these playoffs. I think this is a team. We talked about it in the roundtable last week. I think everybody's starting to think these thoughts. It's a team that has a real shot, but they don't have a real shot if they let the thing slip in the next 3 weeks. So, you know, let's just make sure we take care of what we got to take care of. And that starts with you, Darvish, tonight up in Seattle against those Mariners in the Eddie Vedder Cup. Didn't they beat us the two games in San Diego?
Yeah.
They spanked our booties.
Yeah, we own.
Yeah, Julio Rodriguez wasn't hitting a beach ball, and then he hit everything.
No kidding.
That's right. He came in and not hitting anything, actually, and then left hitting everything.
Everything.
All right. Let's get to break. Plenty to talk about on this Tuesday. Luis Arraez continues his unbelievable streak of strikeoutless baseball, which me too. Another guy who I looked up to, admired, I should say, as I was coming up, who has had two streaks longer. We'll get into it on the other side. More Padre talk, more Luis Arraez talk when we return.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's gone. Yes!
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Or trap pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.
Chris.
All right, welcome back. Welcome in. Gwynn and Chris. A little Tuesday afternoon action for you. Chris Ello. Tony Gwynn Jr. is in Seattle, Washington. Padres and Mariners coming up a little bit later on this afternoon. Sam Levitt's pregame show gets underway following our show at about 5:30. Matt Scraby is in as well, and he's in good spirits today after his 49ers.
Showtime!
Looked the part last night. They dismantled Aaron Rodgers and the Jets. kicked them 32-19, kicked me too. I was playing against the 49er kicker in fantasy. You can probably figure out how that turned out.
Not well.
Six field goal night.
Well.
But I will say this, Tony. There's 3 weeks left in the baseball season, and there's 17 weeks left in the football season. I think I have a better idea who's going to win the Super Bowl than I do who's going to win the World Series right
That's
now.
That's fair. That's 100%
right?
Fair.
I mean, the 49ers, without Christian McCaffrey, just toyed with the Jets. And the Jets, you know, by all counts, are a pretty good team. I'm sure Aaron Rodgers is a little rusty, okay? I'll say that. But it's just, look at the line play. Every time the 49ers hand off, whoever the running back is, and in the case of the game last night, some guy nobody's ever heard of, you get at least 5 yards downfield before anyone touches you. Brock Purdy never has anyone in his face when he makes a throw.
Oh, my gosh. The Brock Purdy slander is just...
It's not slander.
It's not slander.
It's just compliments to your team. Why do you look at it so negatively?
Because you're saying... That he's not—he's a good quarterback when he has time.
That's not what he even said. That's not what he said.
That is so not what I said. What I said was he always has time. I don't know if he's a good quarterback without time because we never get to find out. Nobody ever lays a glove on this guy. The 49ers dominated that game so easily. And you're assuming that the best player in football is going to come back here, and we'll talk about McCaffrey later, but 49ers, I'm sorry, if they, you know, after 1 week, they look pretty good. Let's just say that. I don't want to overdo it because Scravy will get all upset, but
yeah, well, no,
sorry. I mean, they are what they are, which is really good.
The 49ers are good. I mean, I think we knew that at the end of last year, even though they lost the Super Bowl. They're a very good team. I know Chris and I like to try to push Traby's buttons on this. They are a fantastic team, and they really showed the Jets yesterday how much further they need to get their stuff to go, get their stuff going if they want to have a chance to be in this conversation, because that was a dismantling of a team. And they did it really with really a lot of ease. They didn't really have to work for much in that game at all. And as you said, it was without the best running back in the league.
The only time they got stopped is when, you know, Ayuk dropped the ball or somebody, you know, missed a play. They scored on 8 consecutive possessions. You know, they finally stopped scoring when it didn't matter.
When's the last NFL game
you saw a team score 8 times in a row?
That's nuts.
Nuts.
Like not even one punt. We're scoring every time
we get the ball.
8 straight times.
Anyway, so yeah, look, they look great, and that's fine. We'll talk more football as we go along. Well, just because you take it the wrong way, you're trying to defend a team that we're sitting here telling you is fantastic.
The reason
and
I took
you're
it
still
the other
whining
way,
about it.
No, the reason I took it the other way is because I keep seeing all these talking heads talking about, well, if Brock Purdy was on this team, he wouldn't be that good.
I didn't say that.
I know. That's how I took it, because everybody just trashes Brock Purdy.
The next time he gets a helmet in his chin and completes the pass, we'll talk about it. But I haven't seen a helmet anywhere near his chin for 2 years.
Yeah.
So I can't rate it that way.
That's by design, too. They don't want helmets near his chest. They want to block him.
This guy's unreal.
I'll tell you that it was impressive that Trent Williams played almost every snap of that game last night after not playing at all in the preseason.
We know who the real MVP is. Trust me. Because if Trent Williams did not show up to that game, it would have looked a whole lot different in terms of helmets in his chest.
That's a fair point.
I think that's a fact.
That's a fair point.
So Breece Hall and Brock Purdy were roommates in college at Iowa State. Did you hear? They asked them, they asked Brock Purdy what the most annoying thing that Breece Hall did.
He used to leave yogurt on the spoons and ruin all the spoons.
Yes, he used to take yogurt and eat it. Breece Hall used to eat it, and then with yogurt all over the spoon, he would just put it down and let it dry all over. I thought that was so disgusting.
You know, he must have did that a lot. To actually remember it and then bring it up again.
And then say that was an internal conflict between roommates.
You know, college roommates are kind of a disaster to be
They're
with.
They're disgusting. They just are. Let's be honest.
They just are.
I had some college roommates that
we've all had.
Diabolical.
Them. We've had them and we were them. So let's be honest.
Nah, yeah. I wasn't. I didn't play around.
You were terrific.
There is nothing worse than dishes in the sink. So I got about a good month of dishes done. Ooh. And then after that, I'm like, you know what?
Paper
plates. I'll just stay in my room in my little corner the rest of this time. I'm not doing any more dishes.
There was a bathroom. I'm going to call this out. At UT Davis at this frat house that my friend lived in. And every time I used to go visit him, it was such a gross bathroom that I would go to the gas station next door to use the bathroom.
That's disgusting, gross. If you went to a gas station.
I mean, Chris,
bathroom.
You were in a frat. You know what a frat house bathroom looks like. It's horrific.
Spent far too much time in one. Far too much time in one of those. Tony mentioned Luisa Rise. I do want to get this in because we're only going to have Tony for a short time. But this streak that he's got going, 119, I think now, appearances without striking out. It's impressive to me. I don't want to get into the analytics people and how much they hate Arise, but
let's
give him no time today. Let's just talk about how good this guy is, Tony, and how hard what he's doing is.
Incredibly hard. That's why no one else is doing it.
Yeah, right.
he's on pay, or he's now chasing my guy Juan Pierre, who had a 147 span of plate appearances where he didn't strike out. And you know, the thing that's been fun here as of late is as he's gotten hot, is the type of hits that he's getting. I mean, you can almost book it at least once a game. He's gonna hit the 5-5 hole, whether it be on a line or on a hard ground ball. He gets a knock there. It's been multi-hits, it seems like, over the past week, every night. And I was talking to Scans about this off air. They showed his heat map the other day, and all nine of the squares were red. He had a little lower average, maybe in a few of them, but they all were red.
Yeah.
A few of the spots on the outside of the zone were red.
Yeah.
But it got me to thinking. He has, I think, one of the higher chase rates in baseball.
Oh, and I love when those nerds bring it up, too.
He's got, they bring it up almost not even understanding what they're looking at. For him, chase rate, it might be insignificant because he has the ability to hit balls that are outside of the zone hard and get hits. That's something. So that's not everybody's chase. Like, everybody who chases doesn't have the accuracy to be able to still hit the ball hard enough and find knocks. But it brings me to the point of, I mean, even if you cut his chase rate down a smidgen, how many more hits are out there for him? Like, if he ever figured out a way to just cut it down, I don't know, 3% from where it's at, and attack the baseballs that are in the zone even more. Like, how many more hits would be out there for him? I mean, we saw him hit the, oh my gosh. What's the closer's name for Cardinals?
Helsley.
Helsley threw him probably the nastiest slider I've seen that probably would have hit the dirt. He turned that into a double down the left field line. Like, that's an ability that everybody doesn't have. It was a ball. It was, as I said, it was going to hit the dirt. But, I mean, the run he's on right now is amazing. And he's doing it at the most important time of the year, too, by the way.
Love this guy. Absolutely love him. According to what Scraby wrote yesterday, and I haven't seen it anywhere else, that's why I'm mentioning this, your dad once made 170.
Yeah, 170
plate appearances. So Arise has got 50 to go to get to that. But
that's a ton.
That is just incredible.
50 more?
I mean, everybody else in baseball, when they get two strikes, I get ready for the punch out. Arise, it's a challenge to him. He knows he's going to. I couldn't love this guy any more than I do. So
he's hitting 276 with two strike counts this year.
The rest of baseball's hitting about 190, if that.
168, actually.
There you go. 168.
You're close.
So he's 100 points better than those guys. By the way, last you know, bit of greatness for your dad, career 302 with two strikes. So Arise is good, but he's not that good. Not Hall of Fame good yet. We'll take a break. Not when we yet. Come back, we got an early afternoon edition of Chris's Fantabulous Sports Game Show coming up.
Yes.
Scraby's good mood will be put to the test next. I'm Gwen and Chris.
Hey, you said I was in a good mood. That's nice.
Stick
Thank
around.
You.
.240 on the clock. Tony Gwynn Jr., Chris Ello, Matthew Scraby. Padres back in action, 6:40. We have a Mariners lineup, but no Padre lineup to this point. So
they're being stealth.
Have to. Yeah, they're sorting it out. Mike Shilty's sorting it out a little bit.
Yes, he is.
We'll talk a little bit later on in the show about Tyreek Hill and the incident that has unfolded and revealed more information since the last time, I believe, Chris and
it's not
Matt
only
spoke on
it. It's not only, you know, the biggest off the field story in football. I mean, I think it's the biggest story in football. Honestly, I mean,
it is.
This has brought
sure.
you know attention from all corners, and deservedly so. So, we will break that all down because the more information we get. Luckily, the smarter we sound a little bit when we're talking about it. Scraby and I took a crack at it yesterday before we had really seen everything, and I don't know that we said everything we, you know, wanted to come up with in the end. But
we
anyway.
Did the best we'll talk we could a little... with the information available.
Yes, we did, which was risky business, to say the least.
Very risky business.
Yes, it was.
But we'll get into some of that talk here. A little bit later on the show. But now, one of my favorite parts of the show.
And why do you like it so much? Why do you like it so much?
You know, it's entertaining. I have a lot of fun doing it. Scraby, I know you don't want to have your face on camera right now, but...
Oh, I didn't
you know,
realize
eventually,
that. Hold on, here we
yeah,
go.
No, I'm sure
everybody wants to see
it.
The disappointment.
And they do see... You know what I'm disappointed in?
Let's see the car crash.
I can't find my pen, and I do this every week. No, that's not my pen.
No, I know. I'm offering you one.
I mean, whatever. I'm so annoyed.
Here, have this pen. I don't need it at the moment.
I don't know.
Oh, yes, I do need it at the moment.
Sorry.
Okay, never mind. I got a pen now.
You found one?
Really? No, I got. Do you need this pen back?
No, I'm good.
Okay.
I'm good.
All right, we got a Fantabulous Sports Game Show coming your way right now.
All you beautiful people out there, it's time to play one of our favorite games of the week.
All right!
We like to call it...
Ooh, I'm gonna go...
Chris's Fantabulous Sports Game Show! And it starts right now on 97.3 The Fan.
For the record, Chris, for some reason, is asking for the pen he gifted me back.
And I'm giving you another one that I found. So now you can have that. That's the studio pen that you have.
It's from something called the Peninsula in New York.
There's no telling how many germs are on that one. So I'm giving you that.
Great,
one.
Thanks. Chris.
I know you love that.
You know I love germs. That's why I'm so freaked out about not having my pen.
All right, here we go with the Fantabulous Sports Game Show. Tony is the defending champ, as is often the case. But I think you got
the champ is here.
You got a very good chance today, Scraby. I think this is kind of a hit and miss category.
Okay, all
I'll
right.
give it to everybody, and then you can play along out there. See how many you get right. The guys will be exchanging correct answers, and first one to 9 is the winner today. You want to get 9 to win. If you miss an answer or you repeat one, you get a strike, and 3 strikes and you're out. All that is remaining now is today's category. So here we go. The category on the Fantabulous Sports Game Show today, 17 teams in the National Football League have an all-time regular season winning percentage of better than .500.
Mm.
Your job is to name those 17 teams.
Yowzers.
Wow, indeed.
There are 32 teams, as we know. 15 of them have all-time, and this is all-time percentage record, right? So it's not just number of wins, because obviously some teams have been in the league a lot longer than others. So this is by percentage only. You're looking for the 17 teams that are over .500. If you guess one of the ones under .500, then you will get the dreaded buzzer. First to 9 wins. Scraby, would you like to go first, or would you like to give Tony the opportunity to get on the board first?
What's it going to be, Scrape?
I'm going to go first.
He's going to go first.
Yep. Oh.
Yep.
He says he's going to go
first. Mr.
Scrape,
name an NFL franchise that has a winning regular season record all time.
49ers.
The 49ers have won 625. They have lost 515. They're well over 500. They are in eighth place all time on the list of winning percentage. Yes, that is right. How about this, Scrabby? 49ers have 16 ties in their illustrious history.
That's
yes,
random.
There were a day when there were many ties in the NFL. All right, Tony, Scrabby's on the board with the 49ers. Your turn to name one.
How about America's team?
How about the Cowboys?
How about the Cowboys?
Cowboys, believe it or not, number one.
Oh.
They have the best all-time winning percentage
something that
regular season play.
I thought you were done for.
Sorry, 577 for the Cowboys. They are number one all-time in that category. All right, 15 more correct answers. Scraby.
Just trying to think of teams.
I know you are. There's 32 of them in the National Football League.
I don't remember if the Packers were
bad. Are you
bad.
Struggling already?
No.
Geez,
I'm really getting in my head about, like, were those teams terrible in the 70s and 80s?
Were
right?
they?
That's right.
I'm gonna
were
go
they?
The Packers.
That's part of it.
I'm
going to
go with the Packers.
The Pack is back, Scrabby says. Yes, they were the best team in football for the first, like, 50 years of their existence.
Right, just making sure.
They're number two.
I'm
on
overthinking
the
this.
They're number two on the list behind the Cowboys. 571 win percentage for Green Bay. That is correct. 2-1 in favor of Scrabby. Tony's up.
How about the Steel Curtain?
The Steel Curtain.
The Steelers.
Yeah.
The Steel Curtain dominated the 70s, and they've continued to dominate since. They're not as far over the 500 mark as you might think. 0.537. They're 10th best all time. The thing is with the Steelers, before they won those 70s Super Bowls, they were a doormat for a long time. So the Steelers have been, picking up ground ever since. But that's a good answer. They're over, and it's 2-2, and Scrabby's up.
What about the Broncos?
How about the Broncos? Interesting selection. 13th best at 521 win percentage for the Denver Broncos. That is correct. An original AFL franchise. It's a little close for comfort. Yeah, you're down near the bottom, but it's a win. 3-2 for Scrabby. And now it is Tony Gwynn Jr. looking to tie it back up.
This might seem a little weird now, but I think they were good for a while. How about the New York Football Giants?
The New York Football Giants, they are certainly 0-1 this year.
They're 100 years old, so I wasn't
sure. But they're old enough to be over 500. They started in 1925. That's why they were wearing those hideous uniforms the other day.
Helmets were okay. Helmets were okay.
Those were hideous.
Yeah, Giants are good. 526 winning percentage, 11th best on the list. So Tony is correct. Giants are over 500. Scrabby, 3-3. Remember, you can play along out there, see how many of the 17 you can get. Scrabby.
Eagles.
The Eagles. An awesome franchise. But not long enough, unfortunately.
What?
The Eagles started in 1933. They currently have a record of 625 wins and 636 losses. They are under 500 at 0.496. That is the first strike. The Philadelphia Eagles, not a great franchise throughout the early years. I would say probably since the 2000s, they've easily been over 500, but they got some ground to make up. Sorry, Scrabby, that's a strike, and it gives Tony a chance
Don't
to take
you're
his
so
first.
Happy.
I'm just doing my best Bob Barker over here. I am not happy in any way, shape, or form.
Chris laughs.
Tony, you're up with a chance to take the lead for the first time.
I just got a request on tickets that I messed up.
Uh-oh. 11 correct answers.
How about the Bears?
The Bears. Oh. Yeah, Bears dominated. They ruled the landscape of the NFL for many years. They're fourth best all time.
It just makes no sense to
0.556 for the former Monsters of the Midway.
Bears haven't had a quarterback in like 100 years, but they've won games.
It is pretty funny. They list all the franchises here. They list top performers, and every team's got a Hall of Fame name next to it. For the Bears, Walter Payton, but then Jay Cutler is listed as a great quarterback in the Bears.
He's also a great Dolphins quarterback.
Not really. All right, 4-3.
Not really.
Tony's got the lead. Scraby, you need this to get back
oh,
even.
Oh, wow. Okay.
There are still 10 correct answers to go. You're looking for winning franchises in the National Football League.
I'm just going to go with the team that's won a lot of games as of late.
All right.
Chiefs.
The Kansas City Chiefs, a successful original AFL franchise.
Yes.
They were good in the AFL. They're good now, and they're over the 500 mark. The Chiefs are at .548. They are just ahead of the 49ers, slotting in seventh place all time. So that makes it 4-4. If this matters to you guys, you are missing the number 3 team, number 5, number 6, number 9, and then a few down the way. So there's some good teams out there. But again, 4-4 now. Tony, 9 correct answers. Well, let's see. 4-4, 8. Yeah, 9 to go. Tony, with no strikes. Team over 500.
How about the Pack?
The Packers. That is a rarity on this game. That is a repeat.
Oh, you already guessed them?
That is a repeat. Yes. That is,
dang it.
That is a real rarity on this game.
It is.
In fact, it may be the first time that's happened. Yes, the Packers were already guessed by Scraby. They're the number 2 team. That will cost you a strike.
Oh, he sure did do that. See, my attention is diverted right
now.
So.
Is Scraby the one sending you a text about getting some tips, trying to throw you off right now?
It might be him.
He's throwing you off. He's using a burner account.
Yes.
I like what you're doing, Scrape.
All right, back even now, Scraby. 4-4. Both of you have a strike. Scraby, give
this
me a winning
been
franchise.
Really good at times. This team's been really bad at times.
And this team is?
The Rams.
The Rams. The Los Angeles Rams, originally the Cleveland Rams, into St. Louis, back to L.A. They just sneak in, Scraby.
Oh, thank goodness.
They're at .506. Wow. They're the 17th and last team on this list. But you got them. The Rams is correct. They do have a winning record all time. You go ahead 5-4. Tony. Your turn. It's getting close.
Oh, shoot. Oh. How about the Raiders?
That's getting better and better.
Yes, I was hoping you would guess them just to hear you say it. Raiders are good. 519, all-time winning percentage for the silver and black. Obviously dominant mostly in the 70s, 80s, 90s, etc. That's enough to hold up at a 519 winning percentage. So that makes it 5-5. Now only 7 correct answers remaining. You're looking for a team franchise over the 500 mark all-time regular season.
Does a team that's moved count with their
You're
old
looking
team?
For the franchise. So
okay, the I'm franchise.
I don't know who to give, but
I
the Chargers
you.
Would be the L.A. Chargers, San Diego Chargers,
et cetera. Okay, so I got to cross off the Raiders. You know what team's not been terrible a lot and makes the playoffs? Ravens.
The Ravens.
Yeah.
That's a good guess, Scraby. They haven't been around very long. They're the third best.
Wow.
567 winning percentage for a team that didn't start till 1996. That is correct. It gives you a 6-5 lead. 6 correct answers remaining, Mr. Gwynn Jr.
Who hasn't been around that long that I can cheat on?
Oh, you're trying to cheat with that
cheat
now. You like that idea.
I do. That was a good one. Oh, how about this one? This team's been around a while. How about the Minnesota Vikings?
Minnesota Vikings.
Yeah.
Always a bridesmaid, never a bride. Vikings are actually 9th best. Pretty good. 546 with no Super Bowl championships to show for it. They are the best team in football history that has never won the Super Bowl. They've also never, they've never won a championship of any kind. The Vikes. All right, 6-6. 5 correct answers left, Scraby. It's getting down to the nitty-gritty here. You have number 5, number 6, number 12, number 15, and number 16 remaining.
All right, well, this team...
Each has had one correct incorrect answer, one strike. I don't want to go over the hour. Do you want to pause here?
No, I'll get my guesses out.
Well, I think you should hold up.
Okay.
Because, Tony, this is the start of a round.
Oh, okay. All right.
So you guys both get to think about it a little bit. There are 5 correct answers remaining. The game is tied 6-6. Both guys have one strike. You think you know the other five out there? Play along. More Gwen and Chris and the wrap-up of the Fantabulous Game Show ahead.
From the mind of a two-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whoops. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
For the first time, U.S. subscribers can stream MLB Network 24/7, including select out-of-market games.
Swing and a drive. It's deep. It's good. Yes.
Stream minor league affiliates.
Home run number one.
Horse rep pick number one.
Plus, get MLB Big Inning and live audio for all 30 teams.
Baseball can't get better than this.
Experience the game like never before with MLB Network and At-Bat, your all-in-one baseball destination. Only $6.99 per month. Visit MLB.com/At-Bat for details. Blackout and other restrictions apply. MLB trademarks used with permission.